And from the KTLO newsroom, I'm Anna Kenny. The cost of home heating in Southeast and South Central Alaska can be steep, especially in rural communities that have their fuel shipped in. A heat pump can help. The energy-efficient heating and cooling system trades fossil fuel for electricity, which reduces both costs and greenhouse gas emissions. And now, millions of dollars in new federal funding will help families from Ketchikan to Kodiak get one. Andy Romanoff is the executive director of the Juneau-based nonprofit Alaska Heat Smart. Last week, they came into some money, nearly $39 million to be exact.
I'd like to share the first words that came out of my mouth, but I probably shouldn't do that. It was definitely a feeling of shock and a little bit of terror at the same time, which soon translated into excitement.
The new funding comes from the Environmental Protection Agency, which divvied up $4.3 billion total to states, local governments, and a tribe for projects that will cut down on the nation's greenhouse gas emissions. Alaska Heat Smart, in partnership with Southeast Conference, will use the money to help homeowners in more than 50 Southeast and South Central communities ditch expensive, fossil fuel burning heating systems in favor of more efficient electric heat pumps.
We like to say that coastal Alaska between Ketchikan and Kodiak is sort of the Goldilocks zone for heat pumps.
Winters in southern coastal Alaska are typically not too cold, and our summers aren't too hot. And some communities in the region, like Juneau, Sitka, and Ketchikan, have clean, renewable electricity in the form of hydropower. When heat pumps tap into those grids, they're essentially emissions-free. But even when they run on diesel-generated electricity, heat pumps typically cost much less than traditional home heating systems. And that's a big deal, because according to Robert Venables, the executive director of Southeast Conference, some families in the region are putting more than two-thirds of their home energy costs towards heating alone.
That's a really big lift, especially in our rural communities. And that is one of the primary focuses of this project, where, you know, over half the funds are really intended to small rural villages that struggle with heating costs.
Alaska Heat Smart has already been spreading the gospel of heat pumps for a few years now, helping more than 1,000 households to get one installed. The new program will basically build on that momentum by doling out rebates to help homeowners cover the cost of a heat pump, which usually goes for between $7,000 and $10,000. The biggest hurdle to this program's success, Romanoff says, may be the workforce. There's money for heat pumps, but there's not really enough people to install them right now. Romanoff says he hopes more HVAC professionals, plumbers, electricians, and even companies that have traditionally serviced oil boilers will go all in on heat pumps.
This is a chance to either grow a business, start a business, move into the space, and recognize that this is where things are going, especially with this kind of infusion of money. And so now is a great time to get on the train and go for the ride with us, because we're leaving the station, it looks like.
If you're looking to get a heat pump, the rebate program is expected to be officially up and running sometime next spring. And a Canadian conservation group reversed its recommendation of Southeast Alaska's salmon last week. OceanWise withdrew its support on the grounds that multiple gear groups in the region are catching too many fish destined for other places up and down the Pacific coast. As KFSK's Shelby Herbert reports, that move was quickly followed up by a rebuttal from another global nonprofit known for labeling sustainable fisheries.
Salmon products from Southeast Alaska's purse seine, drift gillnet, and troll fisheries will no longer bear the OceanWise label, a simple black and white fish with a W-shaped tail fin. That's a signal to its suppliers that it no longer believes the region's multi-million dollar salmon industry is sustainable. OceanWise aims to give seafood buyers recommendations to help them make quote-unquote ocean-friendly buying decisions to keep seafood resources around for future generations and to reduce harm to other species. The conservation group works with big food retailers like Safeway and IGA, as well as a multitude of smaller suppliers and distributors all over the world. In a July 15th press release, OceanWise said it withdrew its endorsement of Southeast salmon fishermen because they are, quote, intercepting salmon stocks inseparable from British Columbia, Washington, and Oregon stocks. Some of these stocks are destined for rivers in BC and contribute to the future survival of Canadian salmon runs, end quote. Oceanwise published a list of objections, including a claim that salmon fishing in Southeast has had an adverse effect on several vulnerable species in the Pacific Northwest, particularly king and sockeye salmon, as well as an endangered population of Puget Sound killer whales called southern residents. It cited a 2022 Washington District Court ruling that NOAA violated conservation and environmental laws by allowing Southeast trawlers to intercept too many king salmon that may have fed the southern resident killer whales. That ruling is currently being appealed in federal court. But another prominent eco-label claims that Oceanwise arrived at that conclusion prematurely. On July 18th, the Marine Stewardship Council, or MSC, criticized Oceanwise's attempts to shortcut their third-party certification process. MSC placed Southeast salmon under review this May, launched by an objection from three Canadian conservation organizations. Two of those three organizations, the Raincoast Conservation Foundation and Skeena Wild, also advised Oceanwise to pull its label from Southeast salmon. But MSC says it will not decide whether to pull its label from Southeast salmon until the independent review is complete. In a press release, MSC said they place their confidence in the rigor and transparency of that assessment, and that, quote, Alaska salmon has a near 25-year proven track record of meeting the MSC fisheries standard, end quote. Oceanwise said in a press release that it will not return its stamp of approval until the sustainability of Southeast Alaska salmon is no longer in question. In Petersburg, I'm Shelby Herbert.
Rosie Miller owned a legendary bar in Pelican for 42 years. She died last month at 91, and as KCAW's Meredith Reddick reports, friends and family remember Miller as a spirited leader who embodied the heart of the small fishing community.
Rose's world-famous bar and grill has been an institution in Pelican since Rose Miller opened it in 1973. At the time, the remote Chichagof Island community had a population of a little under 200 people.
She had a holiday party every holiday for everyone in town. She had wedding parties, divorce parties, welcome party, good riddance party.
Jessie Natkong is one of Miller's 11 children. She says the whole town looked forward to her mom's 3rd of July parties, where Miller would slow roast meat for days over a spit, and to the softball game the next day.
The adults would have the softball game, and she put a case of beer and a bottle of tequila on every base. And when the tide came in, it'd be up past almost to her knees, and we'd still be running in the water playing softball.
Every Easter, Miller hosted an Easter egg hunt for the children, and later one for the adults.
The adults in the bar would have them all go outside, we'd close the blinds, hide eggs all over, and say, hug the bartender, kiss the bartender, hug your neighbor, kiss your neighbor, ring the bell.
Miller kept the bar open 7 days a week, including on Christmas Day. That was a special feat in a community where even the grocery store cut its hours in the winter. And the bar served as a haven for residents and visitors, including fishermen who stopped in Pelican to sell fish to the local processor. In a 2008 interview with KCAW, Miller said she often hosted dinners for fishermen down on their luck.
There's so many people that can't afford to go to the bars. And during the fishing season, I had a big dinner party for all the fishermen that didn't do so good. They lost their gear, or they didn't catch anything, or the fishing game confiscated their fish or whatever.
Miller served on the school board and with a volunteer fire department. Nat Kong says she also hosted Sunday school and drew in people of all ages.
And it used to be just the little ones that came, and then they were all coming in, and then the older kids wanted to see what was going on at Rosie's house, so they all started coming, and then the high school kids started coming, and the parents were like, what are all those kids doing at Rosie's house? So the parents started coming down.
Rhoda Jensen grew up alongside Miller's children. She remembers feeling inspired watching Rose run a successful business while raising children.
And I don't think it was very common to have women truly own businesses. And so that was kind of neat to see. And not only that, they were Native women.
In 2008, Rose's Bar and Grill won the Alaska Small Business of the Year Award, aided by letters from supporters like Senator Ted Stevens. Miller ran the bar until 2015 when she sold it and moved to Juneau. But in 42 years behind the bar, Jensen says Miller provided a safe space for children, for unlucky fishermen, and for everyone in between.
She gave us all space to just be. When you go to Pelican, you know, once you walk through into her area, we're all the same.
Miller passed away on June 23rd, 2024 in Juneau. In Sitka, I'm Meredith Reddick.
For more stories, check out ktoo.org.